Hi, this is Paul Warne, and you're listening to the Rams Review Podcast.
This is the Rams Review Podcast. Discussions, insights, interviews, and analysis. All passion, all Derby County.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Rams Review Podcast. It's Corey alongside you today, and I've got my two esteemed colleagues, Jack Bryan and Joseph McCormick. Joe, welcome back to the show. Jack, it's been a few weeks since we've been able to chat. Good to see you as well. And we're gonna get into it because we've got a couple of meaty games to talk about. Two victories for Derby, and then also a big game at the weekend. But Joe, I want to ask you real quick. I'm going to come to you first because I want people to understand this. Your role specifically is the AD commentator for Derby for Alan Marsh Sports. Explain to me what the audio descriptive commentator is, and then how is it different than regular comms?
Yeah, cool. So, well, first of all, thank you for having me on. I've really enjoyed, you know, seeing your work from afar. So it's great to have the invite and get involved. Really do appreciate it. In terms of AD, it's a service that we've only just launched over the summer with the club. So myself and four other guys, got to shout them all out. Tim Catton, I said I was right, match names to names. Tim and Stuart and Charlie and Phil as well. Fantastic team to work with. We got together over the summer. We were invited along to Pride Park to do a bit of an assessment day, to do some AD commentary, do a bit of training on that. And it's a service that we launched over the summer with the help of Derby County SLO Emma Drury. She's been fantastic. The whole team have been fantastic. And the feedback we've had so far has been brilliant. It's been great to, you know, hear from so many people who are using the service. The numbers are growing all the time. And it's just great to be able to give back to what was a hugely passionate fan base and such a big football club, because prior to this, I didn't really have any affiliation or involvement with Derby County. But having got involved and seen, you know, how passionate the fan base are, the size of the club, the facilities of the club, everything about it, it's been a dream to be involved in. But just to answer your question about the differences between AD and, well, just regular radio commentary, I guess, because for the past 5 years, I've been doing radio commentary with my local non-league club, Rushden Diamonds. And I suppose with radio, you have more of a license to go off on tangents, talk about facts and stats, etc. But with AD, audio description, the whole focus is on the ball when it's in play all the time. Where is the ball? Moving the ball around the pitches. One of our sort of stock phrases, if you like, and just describing everything from what's going on the stands to what's going on the dugouts, kit colours, what the supporters are doing, weather, describing absolutely everything we can, and just trying to paint the picture in the mind of the listener, because the service is mainly provided for the blind and partially sighted. But to be honest, it could be used by anybody who wants to get more of an insight into the game, if they struggle to see any particular assets of the game from where they're sat. We're here to sort of paint the picture for you and provide that sort of description, if you like. And it's good for supporters to be able to use that service so that later on after the game, they can have those chats with their friends about all the talking points in the game and just feel included. It's all about that inclusivity and that accessibility. And it's something that I'm really proud to be a part of.
Yeah, Joe, it's fantastic that you're able to be part of the project. And we know that Derby, you know, is an inclusive club, and we're part of a lot of different, the club is part of a lot of different initiatives, and we have a, you know, great community trust that does things in the community. And this is just another, you know, facet of that. So, you know, as a supporter, thank you for what you do to do that, because it can't be an easy job describing, you know, Mendez Lang's shoe color week in and week out, and then he changes it in halftime and, you know, that kind of thing. It takes a lot of energy to be able to describe every single thing on the field. So appreciate what you do as well. And people, you know, I would encourage the listeners to go and check it out. And this is not a Harry Kane fire stick packed kind of moment for me. I've listened to it. Joe, don't ask me how. Fantastic work. Keep it up. It's made it, you know, it's made it on the other side of the pond. So, you know, I would encourage people to go out there and try something, try a different perspective on the game. I always help, always see, you know, when you can look at different perspectives, that I think it always helps you. You grow not only your knowledge of Derby County, but as a football supporter and your knowledge of football as well. So appreciate that, Joe, and definitely we're, you know, supporters of that. So we'll promote that as much as we can. But I kind of want to get in now, Joe, and talk about last night, where you were on comms. Okay, so I think the best way I could sum this up is Derby will play better this season and lose than what they did last night. I think that's kind of the general consensus. So talk me through the tough win against Reading.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because I actually wasn't there. The way we have the road to go, and there's five of us that do the commentary, it wasn't my turn last night. So I watched back the highlights. I watched back as many of the clips as I could. I've obviously seen the goals. I've seen the talking points, and it's a really awkward game that because obviously everybody knows the issues that are going on with Reading at the moment off the pitch. On the pitch, they've been pretty decent recently. As Paul Warne sort of alluded to in his pre-match pressers, they press really well. They harry opposition defences, and they can really cause you problems in the final third, as Derby found out, of course, in the reverse fixture at their place. And I think it was always going to be an awkward game because obviously Derby being at home, the pressure's on them to go out and dominate the game, create the chances, score the goals to get it done. And well, they got to a great start, didn't they, in that second half? Brilliant ball in from Ward. He's in fantastic form at the moment, isn't he? Really picked up with those two assists against Port Vale. And I think he's someone that's really hitting his stride now, really lit the blue touch paper. Excellent footwork and finish from Dwight Gale. What a signing he's been. 3-3 now. And what I love about Dwight Gale is, his knack for latching onto anything in the penalty box in the 6-yard area. How often do we speak about strikers? They need to stay in the box, stay in those central areas because that's where they're going to get their goals. And if you look at all three of Gale's goals so far, that's exactly what he's done. Brilliant header against Port Vale, getting in where it hurts for his goal against Bristol Rovers, and of course the one last night. Excellent touch to take the ball down and that lifted finish over the goalkeeper Joel Pereira as well. It's a shame to see Reading get the equaliser in the man that they did. Sonny Bradley, I think, just caught ball watching a bit. It is an aerial challenge that you would expect him to win, not just for the caliber of player that he is, but also the form that he's been in recently. He obviously had a tough start to his Derby career, but he's really starting to find his groove. So to see Reading score in that manner so quickly after Derby scoring as well was a disappointment. But yeah, they obviously rode their luck, didn't they, Derby, with the not just that penalty decision, but of course the red card as well for Yeardom. I don't think it was a second booking. I agree with what Paul Warne said. If you're going to blow for a foul there, it is a tactical foul. And in essence, it is a second yellow card. But is there enough contact there for Conor Hourihan to go down? I don't think there is. I mean, fair play to him. He's drawn the foul and he's got his man sent off. I mean, I'm not condoning cheating by any chance. I'm not saying he's dived, but it was a bit of a contentious one, wasn't it? And yeah, with the penalty, bit of fortune about that as well. Dwight Gale getting his hand to it. I'm sure he's just gone to chest it and it has just innocently struck his arm. But for whatever reason, the referee's view was obstructed. And well, Derby, I don't want to say they've gotten away with one because they did deserve to win the game. They created all the chances. I think Reading only had one shot on target throughout the entire game. But yeah, it was a strange one because, like you say, they will play better than that and drop points this season. So a much needed 3 points. And 3 wins on the bounce going into what is a huge game on Saturday.
Joe perfectly summed up, and you know it's good to note Dwight Gale can go 47 more games in a Derby shirt without scoring another goal and still matches run at Stoke. So hopefully that doesn't happen, and hopefully you know that continues. Jack, you know, let's talk about Dwight Gale because you know Derby have tried to, you know, we have a striker in James Collins. He's out injured, back on the grass here shortly, and hopefully coming back a little bit ahead of schedule. But Connor Washington hasn't really been seen much since October. I think his like calf exploded or something. It's like a Harry Potter thing where they're trying to regrow it in like a, you know, in like a jar with spells. Martin Waghorn has been out for a long period of time. Tyrese Jules-John said, "I'm the fittest I've ever been," and then unfortunately gets injured, and is going to miss the rest of the season. But you know, Dwight Gale's a shrewd sign-in, and I think I had said this talking to Pete from Stoke-on-Trent when we were talking about Dwight Gale, is that there are certain players that you just read about, you just see the name, and you know from your time watching football, you go, that guy's a goal scorer. Jordan Rhodes, one of them, signed for Black, goal scorer. Like Chris Martin, goal scorer. No, not saying we re-sign him. I'm just saying his name because that's he's out there, he's scoring goals. You know, David McGoldrick, goal scorer. There's these kind of players. Dwight Gale is a goal scorer. And like Joe said, his movement, his intelligence, his willingness to just literally stay in the box, put it on the line where it hurts, and then to see the passion of when he gets those goals, is great to see, isn't it, Jack? And before I let you answer, he also said, you know, in his post-match press conference to BBC Radio Derby last night that, you know, there are periods where you don't score for a long period of time and you start to even question yourself. Do you still have it at this level and things like that? So it's obviously for him coming through personal difficulties or professional difficulties. In terms of the lack of goals at Stoke, you know, had to have been frustrating for him, and it must be absolutely a relief for him to get the 3-3. Your thoughts on Dwight Gale since he's come in, Jack, because we're going to need him between now and the end of the season.
Yeah, as you say, turned out to be a shrewd signing. I think however he performed, he was going to be a necessary signing. In the short term, they couldn't not sign a recognised number nine. But he's, took a couple of games, kind of played, what, half an hour at Barnsley, 60 minutes against Charlton, and then three starts, three goals, his last three games. And he's leading the line really well with that kind of technical acumen to kind of bring the whole attack together, really. After a couple of games with Mendes Lang as a kind of makeshift nine, we saw how that alters the balance. So we probably didn't see the best of Mendes Lang in those games. But he's back out on the right doing what he can do and kind of, sometimes switching to the other flank as well. Tom Barkhuizen's come into form in the last couple of games, and then the wing backs as well, since we've Joe Ward and Louis Sibley in the last couple of games have kind of, since that Port Vale game, looked different players again. They've been really, really successful as well. And I think it's gone better than many would have anticipated when you saw, Dwight Yale's goal scoring record in the past few years. But, I said it at the time, how many players have we seen who have maybe been natural goal scorers previously, been getting older, dropped down a level and hit the ground running again? You mentioned a couple there, Jordan Rhodes, David McGoldrick, and obviously small sample size with Dwight Gale. But it feels like we're kind of seeing hopefully something similar in a short period at least, and long may it continue. I mean, as I wrote last night, piece up on the website, which you can go and read now, plug, is that I think Dwight Gale and Ebu Adams as well, these two kind of late additions might be kind of pieces of the puzzle that help just get Derby over the line in the end. Because the team, we've all talked about Adams' off the ball abilities and the way he's freed up whoever's playing alongside him, be it Bird or Hourihane. But we've seen, again, in those last couple of games at Pride Park, he's started to display his range of passing as well. And between them, it's, making the side tick really and offering that different dimension. And I think that could be, in a tight promotion race, we might be looking back on the end of the season thinking, thank goodness we got those couple of extra players in at the end of the transfer window, and then obviously outside the transfer window as well.
Yeah, Jack, it's completely different to the recruitment last January, which left me a bit nervous going into January this year because I know last year, obviously, we made those sign-ins. And yeah, Tony Springett won us basically 3 points by keeping the ball in play at Port Vale. That was his massive, like, thing that I remember. But, you know, you look at it and, you know, you bring in two players there that in January, you don't really have an excuse. You have to hit the ground running. You have to, you know, kind of do it in order to help the team because there's no real ramp up period, you know, like there is kind of in summer. I know the games are intense at the beginning part of the season, but you know, you can kind of get into it. Now you really have to hit the ground running. Ebu Adams has done that. He looks like he's been in that midfield for years. And he's looking like a player that we pretty much have to get in summer for a relatively low cost because he's garbage, Cardiff. In case you're listening to this, we need to sell him for peanuts because this guy's useless. We'll take him off your hands. Just kidding, wink, wink. That's a joke for everybody listening and whatnot. Everybody's laughing. It's okay. But you know, when you bring those kind of players in and the recruitment, you know, that he's solidified that thing, and I think he can really fill a Max Berg-shaped hole in this midfield. And then, you know, you look at Dwight Gayle, and my concerns over Gayle was how fit is he going to be? How can we get something out of him? You know, how long is that ramp up period? And he's hit the ground running. And, you know, those two signings compared to the ones we made last year, you know, could be, like you say, all the difference there as we head into the home stretch here of the season. And Joe, I want to talk to you real quick about the midfield because Max Bird's out going to be out for about 3 weeks, according to Paul Warren, with a calf injury. Calf injuries seem to have plagued Derby this year. There's more calf injuries. I think there's a lot of players with calf injuries this year, just outside of Derby, just in general. But so Max Bird's out with a calf injury for the next 3 weeks. And I was looking at, you know, I was looking at the team shape. And it's interesting because Barkhuizen's moved centrally behind basically the two forwards of Mendes Lang and Dwight Gayle, with Ebu Adams and Conor Hourihan kind of sitting back with that back five. Talk to me a little bit about Tom Barkhuizen's role. Do you like him in that kind of proverbial, I guess we could call it a 10 role, sitting in behind the two forwards? Do you like that from Tommy B, or would you prefer to see Tom out on that wing? Because we've seen him there plenty, and sometimes he's flattered to deceive, but moving him centrally, thoughts on his position change?
I think you're certainly getting the best out of him in the position that he's currently in. Like you say, operating as that, I suppose, like you say, that number 10 role, but being given that license to sort of float around, go left, go right. And I think as a defender, it's so difficult to track someone when they're moving around all the time. They have a bit of a free role. You don't really know where they're going to go until they do it. And I think you saw that to really good effect against Bristol Rovers, especially. You know, you look at the second goal. Barkhuizen finishing it off, really good finish off his right foot, rifled it into the roof of the net. But it's all about that movement. It's all about, you know, that guile, that precision, that ability to sort of pick a pocket of space. And when he's on the ball, just being able to, you know, provide that killer pass. I think he's really coming of age in that respect. But you are right. He is fantastic in those wide areas as well. His ability to take on a man. We saw it earlier in the season. He had a little purple patch in the, I think he scored in three consecutive games or something like that in the autumn time. But he's definitely someone who's really come on and improved as the season has gone on. I really do like him in this role at the moment. And, you know, with the way the midfield is at present, you can't really take him out of it. You know, he is a key part of why Derby have been so good of late. And it's an interesting one, isn't it? Because I think when Max Burr picked up that injury, we expected someone off the bench to come in and directly replace him in that position, whether that's Tyrese Fawner, who I know has been out of an injury, or somebody of a similar ilk to Max Bird. Because I do think Bird and Barkhouse are two slightly different players. I think Bird obviously is very good going forward and arriving late, but I think Bird has that more aggression and that solidity in the middle of the park. It's more of a proper central midfielder, whereas Barkhouse is more that sort of operating in between the lines. You class him as more of a forward rather than a midfielder. And I think that's why he does thrive in that number 10 role, because he's got all the creative skills to do it. So I think, look, there'll be times where perhaps Derby needs to go for a more industrial approach, where they need to have those three aggressive combative midfielders. I wonder if Saturday might be that option, maybe against the Bolton side, who are, well, at the moment, pretty much neck and neck with Derby in terms of the league table and just the general ability of the squad as well. So I think, as I say, I think there'll be games that do and don't suit Barkhouser. But like I said a moment ago, you'd be a brave man to drop him at the moment because he's been in some fine form.
Jack, talk to me about the two fullbacks, because obviously with the change of formation, and you got to feel, I would say you got to feel a little sorry for Corey Blackett Taylor, because he kind of came in for the wing position, and then all of a sudden we changed the formation. Not that he, you know, I'm sure if he had turned up to be Lionel Messi, we wouldn't have changed the formation. But we've changed the formation. Corey Blackett Taylor finds himself on the bench. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a blessing in disguise. I'm going to say it this way, that Ryan Nyambe, who has been fantastic this season, is injured at the moment, because it's allowed Joe Ward to fit in there. You know, Louis Sibley has, we've been trying to find a role for him for years in this team. We know he's a talented lad, and he had a spell at the fullback, and he's kind of back there now. Talk to me about the fullbacks, Jack, because, you know, as Joe said earlier, you know, Joe Ward's in fantastic form. Louis Sibley got a winner a couple of weeks ago. So talk to me about the fullbacks and their importance in this team and their importance now for the rest of the season.
Yeah, as I wrote up after the Port Vale game, and as we were talking about a little bit last week, it's something where this kind of 3-4-3, 3-5-2, whatever you kind of want to call it, the system we're playing now, three at the back, thrives and relies on the wing backs having good games. And that's where it's been so important to see the form of Sibley and of Ward. And, you know, as I put in the piece, it's, you know, I found a thread which was talking about why so many teams are going to back threes or back fives now, as we really should be calling them. And a lot of teams are using even wide centre-backs and keeping a wing-back or a full-back back, aren't they? So it's kind of disrupting the opposition structure in that sense. You've got a solid three and then two players free to kind of go and attack in possession. And for Derby, it is very much the wing-backs who are doing that. But, you know, Sibley, as an attacking midfielder, is, you know, able to kind of invert and underlap at times as well. And we've got that air of unpredictability in terms of providing overloads on, you know, each side with Mendes Lang and Barkhouse, and especially in this kind of free role. I mean, he said after the game on Saturday, he's been allowed to pretty much go wherever he wants. And again, I feel like there's that bit of fluidity now in this system between your wing backs and your kind of forwards that aren't out and out strikers. And yeah, the word I used in the piece was synergy. And there's that sense, and I think this is part of the importance of, you know, what this system and what's gone well in the last, I don't know, what, 10 days or so, is the synergy between these players to keep providing options, keep rotating, and give that unpredictability. Because if we don't know what's going to happen and we're watching them the whole time, then, you know, that's not necessarily a bad sign, as long as they know, because, yeah, the opposition are less likely to be able to predict it, because it's now a case of, well, does Mendes Lang go wide and Sibley come in on that left-hand side, or vice versa? Or is it Barkhausen over there and Mendes Lang on the other side? You know, they keep switching. We've got that fluidity, those options to be really unpredictable, and there's the quality and kind of team cohesion for that to work, which is definitely working in Derby's favour.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, Jack, and definitely you want to have options coming down in the stretch run here. You know, as Billy Davis said, the men and boys time in and around Easter. You know, and that's a great point. We have options pretty much. We have injuries, but we have options more or less in every area of the pitch. You know, we can bring Kane Wilson on in a wide position. We can play him at fullback. We can put Joe Ward in midfield, even though we probably wouldn't do that. You know, Sibley can play in behind the striker. Mendes Lang and Barkhausen can go out wide. Gale can drop deep. You know, so there's a lot of different options to give opposing managers and opposition defenses and midfields something to think about, which is not something we've said for a long time in the Derby side. And, you know, we are winning different ways. And I think that's one of the exciting things, isn't it? Isn't it, Joe? I mean, we've won a couple of games 3-0, but, you know, we didn't necessarily play at our best last night and eked out the victory. But, you know, it's great that we're starting to win games in different ways and not having to rely on one player. Because, I mean, if you hearken your time back to last season, we were pretty much reliant in the last, what, 10 games or so solely on David McGoldrick to get a goal. And that was it. It kind of had dried up everywhere else. But now you look at this team. You've got goals coming from Gale. You've got Waghorn, who might be chipping in with a few. He scored, you know, last week. You've got Sibley, who can chip in. Mendes Lang is chipping in. You've got Barkhausen that are chipping in. Collins might be coming back. You know, Cashin's chipped in with a couple recently. So it's nice that there are goals about this team, isn't there? And that there is, you know, a plan. There seems to be plan A and plan B now. I'm not going to say that we have a plan C, but we could even go that. And that plan B isn't do plan A better, that there are different plans and different things for opposition managers to think about.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. And I think that's why Derby are in such a much better position this year as opposed to the last. They've got that strength and depth. They're able to share the goals around. Even losing James Collins for a period of time with an injury, you've still got, capable players who can come to the starting 11 and just keep things ticking over. Yes, there's been a couple of times where Derby have had little blips throughout the season, but everyone's going to. That's why the Football League, that's why League One's so exciting, is because nobody's running away with this title. Portsmouth have been top for a while now, a few points clear, but they've still got loads of work to do if they're going to take the title, because you've got Derby breathing down the necks. Derby still have to go to Portsmouth. Bolton in the top three. Bolton still have to go to Portsmouth. So it's such an exciting table. Obviously, last year was incredible. The form of, the Plymouth and Ipswich and the like, Sheffield Wednesday all finishing over 90 points. And I think it's going to be maybe not as close as that this year, but I certainly do think the points tallies are going to be quite similar. Maybe not in the mid-90s, but I certainly think if the teams that are out there keep picking up the points at the rate that they are now, then this is going to go right to the wire. And there's definitely a possibility that, we head to Pride Park on the last day against Carlisle, still with the fate in the balance.
That would be both scary and also epic at the same time. I'm a big fan of wrapping it up as soon as possible with the least amount of drama. But final day against Carlisle with the potential to do whatever we wanted to do, I think would be fantastic. Now, gents, I'm not one to talk about Fight Club because I just think that brings bad vibes. And I'm always the guy who talks about the result and then the team ends up doing poorly. So we're not going to talk about Fight Club here with specific names and how they're going to finish. But let's talk about that promotion race, because if you look at it from an outside Derby perspective, from just a footballing perspective, it is rather exciting. You've got, Portsmouth and Derby in the top two, Bolton, who we play at the weekend. You've got Barnsley and Peterborough, who are surging. Stevenage are still in and around there. And I know not everybody's a big fan of Steve Evans, but they must be up there for a reason. They must be half decent at this time of the year. You've got Blackpool are there. Oxford got thrashed last night by Lincoln. Lincoln's kind of making a run. So really, when you look at not only the automatic promotion places, the playoffs, it's really starting to hot up here, and it's starting to get really exciting for a football fan, isn't it? Because when you look at it, everybody's kind of in the similar kind of form. Everybody's had a good patch. Everybody's had a patch where they looked unplayable. Everybody's had a patch where they kind of looked terrible or torrid at times. So it's really, really interesting going into the last part of the season, isn't it? For all the teams involved. And, it should be, I know, nerve-wracking for us as Derby supporters, but also, exciting from a footballing perspective. Obviously, a lot better if things go our way. But from a footballing perspective, it should be a hell of a lot of fun between now and the end of the season, wouldn't you think, Jack?
Yes, if I've got my kind of journalist content creator hat on, if I've
Yes,
got my Derby fan
exactly. But
hat
from like a
on,
Derby
it's going to be
perspective,
torture,
yes.
potentially. And yeah, but that's the key thing for a neutral, or I'll say people in our situation where we're kind of creating content and so on. It's great. It's going to be really entertaining. The fan in me is going to be, metaphorically biting my fingernails until the final day. It would look like, but you know what? I'd have taken this at the start of the season to be where we are now and have a good chance of making something of this season, from the position we're in now. I'm not going to say we're going to do it, but it's been, we're in a strong position at this point. And I think, yes, you can say that for a lot of other teams. That is, of course, the issue perhaps for Derby fans, but that's the beauty of the EFL, right? And the tight promotion races that we see. I mean, as you say, we've got Bolton at the weekend, Peterborough and Portsmouth facing off in another huge game. I mean, Lincoln, I think now, are perhaps the dark horses for sixth. If, and we're recording this just before, or yeah, just before, oh no, it, yeah, just before the game, it hasn't kicked off yet, between Peterborough and Stevenage tonight. But if Peterborough win that, then Lincoln would only be 3 points behind Stevenage, although Stevenage would have a game in hand. I think that they're dark horses to sneak into sixth with the form they're in. Michael Scubella had a rocky period, rocky start, but as you know, they've really come into form, and we're seeing the promising young coach with some good young talents. And you know, as I say, I think they're dark horses and could well be a massive threat next year as well. I mean, this is the guy who, you know, really impressed an interim charge of Leeds when they went to Old Trafford, and we're seeing kind of elements of that, as I say, in this promising young coach. So I think they're a really interesting side, and I think we're getting lots of these stories as well. I think them, Oxford, Blackpool, all outside the playoffs, I wouldn't bet against any of them sneaking in. It just looks at this point that like it will probably be a battle between those three and Stevenage for sixth if you look at the points totals. But if we could easily see someone in the top five have a bit of a slump in the last few games. It's been really unpredictable, and that's great if I'm, you know, doing a podcast.
It's great and also not great at the same time, Jack. I think we would all agree on that. Joe,
Yeah.
I think before we turn our attentions to Bolton for a couple of minutes here, I want to talk to you about Derby because Jack's right. I think if you had said to most Derby fans with, what is it, about 8, 9, 10 games to go, right? We are in second position with 75 points, 5 off the title, the top position. I think most people would snap their hands off. And I think the thing is that we know. And I think we said this before earlier, several times in the podcast, that there is so much more to come from this team. And I think that we're sitting here, and I think there was a lot of, I'm not going to say overreaction, because earlier in the season, the performances against Stevenage and the performances against Shrewsbury were, you know, not up to what we expect. We only lost 9 games from 38. That's pretty good. Obviously, it's good because we're second in the table, but we know that there's even more to come from this team, that we've only really hit top gear for brief moments in this long, long season. And I think that is something to be proud of as well, that we know that there's more to come from this team. You're kind of like, come on, guys, let's do this. But you've got to be happy with the position that we're in. I mean, you'd snap the hand off. If I offered this to you right now in August, you would have snapped my hand off, right?
100%. And I think the big thing as well, Corey, is that their fate is in their own hands. You know, yes, Barnsley and Peterborough have games in hand, but they can't catch Derby in the positions that they're in. And Derby have played them both twice. Obviously, it would have been nice to, you know, beat Peterborough at home, to have beaten Barnsley away and have even more of a cushion on both sides. But you look at the run-in, obviously, Derby have to play Bolton and Portsmouth, two massive games in their own right in both the race, well, you know, for automatics and also the title, if you want to go that far. But they've only after the Bolton game, you look at the last I think was it 7 games left after the Bolton game, 8 games left. They've only got to play one more team inside the top six in Portsmouth. The rest of the games are pretty favourable. You know, the likes of Leyton Orient, Cambridge, Carlisle, all in the final three. You know, without jinxing it, you'd probably back Derby to try and get 9 points from those games. Wickham away as well. You know, Derby have a bit of a wrong to right in that sense after conceding that late goal against them at Pride Park. So Northampton away as well, side, you know, who Derby absolutely demolished earlier this season. I mean, I know quite a bit about Northampton because I'm quite local to the area, but I know they've picked up quite a bit since that game. But Derby should still have more than enough quality to go there and get a result. So I think their running is quite favourable in comparison to some of the teams that they're up against. I think we'll know a lot more after Saturday about the direction that this is going to head in. I think not to touch too much on Bolton, because obviously we're going to speak about that in a bit, but I think if Derby can not get beat this weekend, then I won't say that's a successful weekend, but it's a productive weekend in a sense, because I think when you're ahead of, you know, the team that you're up against, and you know, when you're in this position where Bolton are the chasers, you just need to keep them at arm's length. You just need to try and, you know, maintain that gap. You know, obviously we'll want Derby to win that game, and you know, we'll be frustrated if they don't. But if they get a result this weekend, whichever one it is, 1 point or three, I'm sure they'll go into the rest of the season with plenty of confidence.
Joe, that's a great segue into the next part, where our friend Ryan Lantham at the Trotter Chat Bolton Wanderers podcast sent us over a preview from his perspective of the game on Saturday.
How has our season been so far? Well, let's say it's been a roller coaster. Despite being constantly up there at the top of the table. It's been a very difficult season, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of bad losses and missed chances. So it's been incredibly stressful, to be honest, and we really have struggled to put consistent performances together. In terms of current form, we've come off the back of some big defeats to Blackpool and Wigan away, obviously local rivals. We had a good comeback draw against Barnsley, but then we're also dropping points to teams like Exeter. So it's been a bumpy road. Obviously, last night we had on Tuesday we had a 5-0 win to Oxford. So it's incredibly inconsistent. In terms of thoughts on a manager, I don't really want to speak for the rest of our fan base, but I'm finding him quite difficult at the moment. His resistance to change his style of play and take accountability for sort of our shortfalls this season is causing me to get quite frustrated with him. But he's been loyal to the club. He's took us from the depths of League Two and as close to the Championship as you really want to be. So we'll see where we are at the end of this season, and then I'll give you my proper verdict on him. In terms of key players, you're looking at the spine of the team. We're sort of struck heavily with injuries at the moment. But we've still got Ricardo Santos at centre-back, our captain. George Thomason and Josh Sheehan, two very dynamic midfielders, as well as Paris Mogoma, who's on loan for Brentford. We're missing Deon Charles, our top goal scorer, but Aaron Collins has recently joined us from Bristol Rovers and seems to be finding some form. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do play well, he causes you some issues. In terms of tactics, Bolton like to keep the ball. They like to retain possession quickly, and they don't like to lose possession easily with any kind of long ball football. So if we get it right and we move the ball quickly, we can be very difficult to defend against. But on other days, we're not moving that ball fast enough, we can be very very easy to defend against and be caught on the break, like so many teams have done to us recently. I think it is a weakness of ours. We don't really have a plan B when plan A isn't working. But in terms of strength wise, we seem to have a team that's together, understands what they need to do, and understands Everett's system. So when things do click, like they did against Oxford, we are a difficult side to play against. In terms of Derby, I think you guys have had a very similar season to us. I think you believe you should be up there. You've had a lot of opportunities to really break off, but then other results haven't gone your way or your own result, and it's caused you to get pulled right back in. But I'm concerned about playing you guys on Saturday. I don't think it's going to be easy. I think I'm not really expecting Bolton to go in there and get a win. So hopefully it's close, similar to the home leg at the Reebok. But we'll see. My head says that 5-0 win that we had against Oxford is going to be the turning point, but I really think that I need to be conservative with it and say, well, we'll a draw or a loss, really.
Our thanks to Ryan at the Trotter Chatter Bolton Wanderers podcast. Ryan, thanks so much. Best of luck, not on Saturday, because I don't want you to win on Saturday, quite frankly. But gents, this is a big game on Saturday. You know, we've talked about this over the last couple of weeks, that this is going to be, I'm not going to say a season defining few weeks for Derby County, but it's pretty close to it. We've got Bolton, we've got Portsmouth in a few weeks coming up. And we had a tough game a few weeks ago as well. So, you know, we're trying to go through this season. We're trying to get promoted. And I'm also trying to find out which team I was talking about, and I'm stalling for Barnsley. That was Barnsley. So yeah, we played Barnsley. We've got Bolton, we've got Portsmouth. Those are pretty much our three big cup finals. Every game's big, but this is a big game at the weekend. Bolton third place, Derby in second. It should be a cracking game. I'm looking forward to it, Jack. I don't know about you. I think I'm going to nervously be watching behind the couch a little bit. Both teams have a good patches, like we said earlier. Both teams have had poor patches. You know, what do you think about, what are your thoughts heading into this game, Jack?
I think it's going to be a really good contest, and I'm quite excited for it in that sense. And then also the fact that I'm actually there again, which is nice. So, you know, should be a good game. I will mention that now because inevitably there'll be a lack of tweets on Saturday because I'll try and do it, and then the data or whatever will cut out. Hopefully, my wheelchair lasts the battery this time and doesn't cut out. But that was interesting. I can just switch it to manual, luckily. But my poor mum had to push it with me, 6 foot plus, and a battery. But good result. It was all right. Going to Port Vale. But yeah, I think it'd be a good game and an exciting contest. And yeah, I think Bolton, obviously really good side. Missing a couple of key players. I think Victor Adeboyejo's out, which is a name that every time I read, say, or hear, I still hear Dave Fletcher talking about Burton on Radio Derby, rather than him at Bolton, even though he's been there over a year. I think, Ian Evans, of course, former Ram as well. They're going to put up a tough test, but I think Derby at their best, with home crowd of apparently 31,000 or so, who seem very much up for this. The sentiment does seem to be that this is Derby's biggest game, at least of this season. I'd say it's the biggest game of this season, but I'm seeing people say it's the biggest game in years, and I mean it could be. But yeah, this is crucial now. I think if Derby, after getting the win last night, if Derby win again on Saturday, they'll be on 78 points with seven games to go. Now, based on maths of kind of previous seasons' points totals, I would hope 90 odd will be kind of enough for top two. So you get a win on Saturday, and you're thinking 4 wins from the final seven would then put you in a pretty good position for top two, kind of at least 4 wins in that last seven, maybe five, and that sounds pretty doable. If they lose to Bolton leapfrog them, you're saying, right, you've got to win five, maybe six, that final seven. You've got Portsmouth in there. You've got Blackpool, who, are making a playoff charge themselves. Wickham away is never an easy game. They like to make things difficult. So it'll be interesting in that sense. But yeah, I think Derby at their best with the way they've been playing at, say, at Bristol Rovers, on Saturday, just gone. I think they'd be all right, but they're gonna have to be 100% on their game and not gonna be able to afford to switch off because, I mean, Bolton last night was, they were ruthless. 5-0 against Oxford, who granted have dropped off since Liam Manning left, but still in and around the playoffs.
To be fair, though, Jack, sorry, go on, finish your point.
That being said, they have got what, 2 wins in the last six, and in the last four away games, they've only picked up 2 points. Of course, one of those was at Barnsley, one at Wigan. It's Wigan, solid side, one at Blackpool. So difficult games, but then Derby should be a difficult game for them as well. So I think, yeah, good contest that I think we can all get excited and equally nervous for.
I agree, and I hopefully it's always this old adage, isn't it, Joe? Hopefully Bolton's used up all their goals for the month in the last game. I personally prefer to spread them around so we can have them in every game. So hopefully we've used up all of our goal. But Joe, Jack's right. Bolton were replaced last night, winning 5-0. But Derby have what one of the best defensive records in this division. I think Jack's also right that if we play at our best, if Derby play to the capability that we know they can play, they're defensively solid. We have a bit of verve and a bit of nouse and attack now. We shouldn't really go in and fear anybody, should we, Joe? And it is a big game. It is a tough game, and obviously respect Bolton, but don't go in there and be scared of the occasion and go out there and just try to win another football match to get yourself to the ultimate goal at the end of the year, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I agree with Jack when he says that, not to mount pressure on Derby, but I think this is the biggest game of the season because if they win the game, then they create a bit of a buffer ahead of Bolton. And likewise, if Bolton win, they leapfrog Derby. So there's so much at stake in this game. And you make a good point about Derby defensively as well. Only 34 goals conceded this season. Only Portsmouth and Lincoln have conceded fewer. But you are right to mention Portsmouth Bolton and their free scoring form at the moment. Five against Oxford, two in the three previous games, each of the three previous games as well. They are the joint top scorers in this division. So there's plenty of threats in that forward line that Derby have to be wary of. And they won 5-0, by the way, without their two top scorers, Charles and Adebayo. So, you know, Derby will have to be mindful. Five different goal scorers, as I say, against Oxford. But that's not to say that it's going to be Bolton's attack versus Derby's defence, because obviously Derby score plenty of goals themselves, scoring from all areas of the pitch. Dwight Gale's hit in form, Bart Cowson's hit in form, Joe Ward with some of the deliveries he's providing, Lewis Sibley starting to chip in with a few. So these are two sides who share the goals around very well. And I think that just, and like, it just adds even more anticipation and excitement to this game. Having said that, it's probably now going to be the worst game of the season, finishing 0-0. We just shake hands and go home with a point apiece. But no, I think it's going to be a really exciting one. I think it'll be similar to the Peterborough game on New Year's Day. Hopefully not the same scoreline from a Derby perspective. But yeah, definitely a game that we can all get excited about as well. Because, I mean, what's the capacity at Pride Park? Is it 34,000?
And they've already sold. Yeah,
they've already sold over 31,000 tickets for this game. So it's going to be the biggest crowd of the season. It's potentially going to be the biggest crowds for years. So that, and it just sells the game, doesn't it? And I'm gutted I can't be there, but I'll be very nervously awaiting those score updates as they come through.
I'll tell you what, I don't care. I just want to walk away with points. Obviously, I would love Derby to thrash Bolton and set a statement down. But, you know, Joe, if you said there, dullest game of football known to man, everyone's just bored to tears, and we finish as 0-0, we take a point, I'd probably still be a pretty happy camper. I'd be much happier with 3 points, but I think everyone catches my drift here, where as long as we get something on the board, whether it's a point or three, I think it's a necessity. But obviously I'm going to be hopeful, and hopefully that energy, we know when Pride Park gets rocking, it can really make a difference to the players. So every single fan is going to play their own part in this game. And it's going to be an exciting atmosphere. And I think we'll have one of the biggest crowds of the year in League One. And I think we'll probably have one of the biggest games attendances, I think, anywhere in the country this weekend. I would be shocked if we weren't in the top five or the top eight of the highest attended games. So, you know, it'll be good. Bolton fans will be there in full voice as well. So it'll be exciting big game atmosphere, which hopefully will lead us on to bigger and better things for the remainder of this season. I'm not going to push either of you for a score prediction because, again, this is Fight Club and we don't talk about Fight Club, and I don't want to jinx anything. So what we're going to go into now is Jack's going to give us a little bit of an update on the U's.
Marley Rhodes-Andrews scored her first career hat-trick at the weekend as Derby played out a thrilling 3-3 draw. Halifax FC travelled to the Don Amos Arena to replay a fixture that had to be abandoned in November due to an injury to a visiting player. After consecutively defeats to High Flyers, Newcastle United and Burnley, the U's were looking to get back to winning ways against the mid-table outfit. The visitors had a couple of early chances, testing Sarah Morgan, but it was the U's who opened the scoring. Camille Jenkins drilled a low cross in from the left after some good work down that side for Rose Andrews on the edge of the box, who placed the ball into the left side of the goal. Just a minute later, Eleanor Ashton came close to doubling the lead with an ambitious strike, and Jenkins would also reply just off target with a curling effort. Derby had another chance when Amy Sims pinged the ball out to Hannah Ward on the right flank. Her effort from distance was saved well by Becky Flaherty. And the U's be 2-0 up by the break, Rhodes Andrews finding the bottom left corner before half-time. A stubborn Halifax side kept Derby at bay for much of the second half and pulled a goal back when Oliver scored from 20 yards for Ramsden equalise, her effort in off the post. But Derby restored their advantage within a minute, Marley Rhodes-Andrews connecting with Ashton's cutback to complete her hat-trick. Halifax equalised once more after Sarah Morgan brought an opposition attacker down in the box. White scored the penalty, retaken after encroachment. Kira Ryan and Isabel Sheridan both had chances to win it for the U's, Sheridan having a strong claim for a penalty waved away, and the match ended in a draw. Sam Griffiths sounded obviously disappointed full-time, saying, "We had an opportunity to win this game. We were in a good position at half-time and we threw it away." He said it felt like a loss, but a point was a point and Derby had to move on, which they have done. They're in action tonight, as I record this, on Wednesday, playing away to Stoke. I'll have an update on that next week, but there is also, of course, updates and highlights on the club's official website and social media pages in the meantime.
Jack, thanks for that, and always thanks for your lovely insights onto the U's. We're going to do our best to try to get some more insights from Captain Amy Sims in an upcoming episode. So just planning some things out down the road, and that'll be one to listen to as you get her updates as the U's continue their season. And Jack, I really always appreciate your insight on them and your willingness to cover them for us and things like that. So, gents, we're coming to the end here of the episode. I think it's been a pretty successful few games for Derby. We've kind of got back on track. We've proven that we can play really well and win. We've proven that we can kind of not play so well and win. We can kind of grind out results as well against a tough opposition team, a team in Reading that you never really know what to expect. But heading into a big game at the weekend, three wins on the trot. Got to be positive. Got to look forward to that big bumper crowd. So, I'm excited. I think it should be a good game. You know, knock wood aside from what Joe was saying, that it's a complete tearjerker of boredom. But I think it's going to be a real barnstorming game. So we should go out there, shouldn't fear anybody in this division. I think that's proven out through the course of the year that there's no team this year that's really like a level above. And Derby can go toe-to-toe with anybody in this division. So, you know, excited, looking forward to it. And we'll have all of the recap of the big game next week on our episode. So until then, there's only one last thing to say, and that's first of all to thank Joe McCormick, who does the audio descriptive commentary for Derby County. Joe, thank you very much for your time this evening. Really appreciate it.
No, thank you guys for having me. If there is just time for one last plug, I would just like to plug the AD service for anybody that is interested in using it. Because I made a right hash of trying to remember surnames earlier of our team. But Tim Richards, Phil Campbell, Charlie Howe, Stuart Hughes, and myself, we are all the DCFC AD team that provide the audio description commentary. It's not me this weekend, unfortunately. I'd love to have been involved, but there will be commentary, as there is for every home game at Prior Park. If you would like to book a receiver, it is free. It's a free service to listen to. Plenty of ways to do so. You can either get in contact with the SLO phone line, which is 01332 667 528, or you can get in touch on Twitter, either through at DCFCAD or at DCFC_SLO. So it'd be great to have plenty of listeners tuning in this weekend. We've got a great commentary lined up. And just hope to grow the listeners even more and keep building what we've got.
Yeah, Joe, thanks for that. And we'll certainly put that in the show notes and stuff and continue to support you on your journey and appreciate what you do and the value that you bring to the football club, because it's a very interesting service. It's a new service. And we'll do whatever we can to support you and the great work that you guys are doing on the team there. And also, Jack, thanks so much for getting out those match reports. I think Lee Curtis and you were trying to have a competition on who can get a match report out quicker, but I'm not going to say anything, but you might be slightly quicker. It's like the Mathendez Lang of typing a match report. That's how quick he is. Mathendez Lang was a writer. He'd be Jack Bryan, but Jack, our senior writer for the Rams Review. Jack, thanks for all the hard work that you do, spending the evening with me, and all the stuff you do behind the scenes that probably people don't see behind the curtain of Oz. So, Jack, thanks so much for spending the time.
Yes, thank you. I'll just say as well, the audio descriptive commentary is great, and the whole accessibility at Pride Park is brilliant. And we need to, you know, hopefully if we can use our platform to keep promoting these sorts of things, you know, expanding inclusion and accessibility to football is really important and something I'm quite passionate about. So yeah, hopefully we can keep trying to help in any way we can with that. And yeah, hopefully that's, you know, something that can keep improving, because I feel like there's been progress and we need to keep it moving.
And just lastly, thank you guys as well for using the platform to be able to promote the service, because as Jack says there, it is a new service. We are growing all the time. So to be able to have the support of you guys and other content creators in the Derby world, it's absolutely fantastic. And it's a really, you know, unified football club at the moment. You know, everyone's doing their bit to help each other, not just on the pitch, but of course off the pitch in the content creating industry. So big thanks to you guys for that.
Well, Joseph, Jack, that's all the time we've got for this evening. We'll be back next week with the recap of the big game against Bolton. And you know, we've been hard at work in Rams Review HQ with some special Rams Review Meets episodes, which will be coming out at various points either in this season or in the summer. So stay tuned, because there's a lot of great different things on the way that I think hopefully everybody will enjoy. So for me, Corey, for Joe, and for Jack, and for Jason, who's unable to be with us tonight due to work commitments, there's only one last thing to say, and that's up the Rams.
Thank you for listening to the latest episode of the Rams Review podcast. Don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to get in touch, we're on Twitter at Rams Review 1. Our Facebook is Rams Review Podcast. Or you can drop us an email, ramsreview@hotmail.com. Thanks for listening, and until next time, up the Rams.